Right, I have got David Henke on the phone. Good afternoon, David. How are you?
I'm fine, actually. Good afternoon, Ian. Nice to talk to you again.
Yes, it's nice to talk, actually, live on the air as well. So I think there's a few things that you wanted to make comment on, isn't there, David?
Yes, there are one or two things that are... I mean, I do feel the situation has reached a sort of impasse at the moment for 50s women. I feel particularly strongly that the path that WASPI has gone down is beginning to look like a dead end, because they had in the summer a situation where they could have basically clamped down on the parliamentary ombudsman as they got an agreement at court and set deadlines for him to come back and for the report to be completed. And instead, actually, they've been left in limbo with no date for when he's going to complete the work, no circulation of any draft proposals yet, and they, as far as I can see, they can't really do anything about it, because they haven't got any way to basically say, well, we're going back to the judge, you haven't done this, and so forth, because they rather left him, you know, with a fairly fluid situation. And I'm really wondering what's going to happen here, because I've seen the ombudsman leaves next April, and the process to replace him has already begun, with advertisements put out about a week ago for his successor. So you could actually end up with a situation that he will go and just decide to leave it to his successor. Mm. And even if he brings something out, the WASPI are going to have to negotiate with a successor still to be announced and, you know, recruited. So that area has come to an end. And then on the other side, CEDAW basically were finding that Mel Stride, the Works and Pensions Secretary, basically initially did not reply to what was a proper legal offer of mediation from Garden Court Chambers, the lawyers, and instead allowed the junior new pensions minister to sort of suddenly say, oh, we can't do this because there is the ombudsman report going on. Basically, this was not acceptable, because it's been sent to the Secretary of State and he has to reply to something. It's a legal process here. And then finally, they did in fact inform Garden Court that they at the moment felt they couldn't go ahead because of this. But really, I'm sure Jocelyn told you, it's a complete false analogy, because two things are quite separate. They're totally separate procedures. And one is a legal procedure. And what is quite interesting now is that CEDAW and Law are taking legal advice on whether to pursue the Secretary of State in the courts again. And if that happens, I think there'll be an almighty explosion, actually, because if we're going back to the beginning, except on a different issue. And my feeling about it, if it went to a court in some sort of class action, that judges would probably think it's perfectly reasonable to have a mediation. It won't be like a big argument over whether it was direct or indirect discrimination or maladministration or whatever. It will be that one party refuses to mediate with another, and I wouldn't have thought the justice system would be very sympathetic to a minister who didn't want to do it. So it would be quite interesting if this does happen. At the moment, it's only at the stage of them taking legal advice. But actually, that will really raise issues again. And WASPI again, who were invited to, you know, participate in mediation if they wanted to, will be left on a limb on another sort of with the parliamentary ombudsman, and no progress being made at the moment.
Mm. Yeah, now I noticed you mentioned something about the Labour Women's Conference as well.
Oh, that's quite important, yes. I mean, the Labour Party, which is rather fascinating going there, because it was basically, the Labour Party seemed to completely change. It was, there were a lot of companies there and a lot of talk about partnership with business and things like that. But the women's, they'd met and they had actually endorsed the Labour Party backing the full implementation of CEDAW, which of course will affect 50s women and lots of other things like equal pay and women's rights actually on a very wide range of issues. And that was quite a significant move. And then frankly, the Labour Party will be very sensible if they win the next general election to start putting this into effect, because it would actually strengthen women's rights and also, I think, be very popular with women, in the sense that they would then have set up a system that the law can then be swiftly enacted actually in a lot of areas, actually, which is a good thing. So I thought that was quite significant. Now, I was going to add something quite interesting. I've had reports from some people who've sort of are closer to the Conservatives saying that in the King's Speech, which will be on November the 7th, the Tories basically are getting so desperate, particularly after losing two more by-elections, that they're thinking of framing the King's Speech on the lines of wedge issues to force Starmer into difficult positions, which actually means a very harsh programme, probably restricting further trade union rights, possibly sort of stirring up the issue of the boat people even further, and probably introducing restrictions on benefit and forcing more people into work, and be challenging Starmer to say, you've got to back all these things, and if you don't, well, we're going to say Labour's backing trade unions and spending too much money on benefits, etc., etc. But also I've heard that there's a lot of legislation they could include, but which they've decided not to. One big example is local governments, as most people are aware, are in a desperate plight at the moment, can't provide services. A number of councils have gone bankrupt, the most spectacular being Birmingham. And there was a ready-prepared bill to bring back a body that would supervise councils and also allow them to be properly audited, because a lot hadn't been, and give backing to firms who were auditing it, and they decided to do nothing about it, which actually could lead more into a sort of scorched earth policy if more councils go bust and can't audit it. And similarly, there was a completely ready-made bill, oven ready, I might say, left by Theresa May to reform the whole mental health system, which needs it, actually. It's a very outdated thing. And again, I gather they're refusing to do it, partly because of inter-Tory arguments that some of the present people don't want to be seen backing Theresa May, which is pretty, pretty bad. So I think it's going to be a grim time for 50s women, because I don't think they'll want to do a thing about it. And if anything, they'd want to dump it if they're going to lose the election on the Labour Party to sort out. Mm. So it's not a very pleasant year we're going to have, I'm afraid. No, I'm sorry to sound so gloomy, but that seems to be the situation. And that came out a bit from people talking to people at the Conservative Party conference in Manchester, but that was the sort of thought, or the way they were thinking of doing it.
Sounds like they want to sink the boat, doesn't it?
Mm. I think they do, actually. I mean, I think they're shocked that there's still a 20-point lead of the Labour. And also, even in rural, I mean, it wasn't reported much, but on the night of the two by-elections, the parliamentary one, there were council elections in basically Worcestershire, and they were in safe Tory council seats, and there was a huge switch to the Greens. I mean, they won both seats with a massive swing of about 30-odd percent. Yeah.
David, it's been wonderful speech, and thank you so much for your time, and hopefully we'll speak again very soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's nice talking to you.